unrehearsed interview with Mr. Robert Palmer of Maysville, Kentucky, on August 23, 1988. The interviewer is Lynn David.
Robert, you were born in, were you born in Mason County then?
Yes, ma'am.
In Maysville itself, or?
No, in Maysville.
Mm-hmm. When were you born?
May 17th, 59.
But you grew up here?
I lived in the same house here all since 59.
Since you was born?
Yeah.
This is an old house, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know anything about its history or how old it is?
Well, on the sign up front, I believe it's 1849.
How long has your family owned it?
Since 1958, I think.
Oh, you're...
Or 57.
Before you were born?
No, 58, I believe. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the same... the high school building up here burnt in 59. 58 or 59, I don't know.
And you don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that. Sure don't.
So as a small boy growing up in Maysville and as a grown man now, have you seen a lot of changes in the town?
Well, when I was smaller, there wasn't very many children around. There were several black children, maybe, but there wasn't very many white. Everyone was in town. The older people would retire off the farm. They'd come in by a house. And there wasn't any young people, hardly at all.
Made it sort of hard for you to find somebody to play with then growing
there
up.
There wasn't too many around.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's changed now. There's young people buying homes now. The older people aren't out on the farms. They're not as thick out there, as it were. So that's changed a whole lot. And it used to be, it's always people right around close here that would buy a home. Now they come from farther away, maybe, young people to buy.
So when you were a young boy, you pretty well knew everybody that lived in Mays Lake then, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I knew their families.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big change that's been made. I know that.
That was sort of rough on you as a child, wasn't it, then? I mean, what did you do to entertain yourself?
There wasn't too much to do. Mowed people's yards and things like that. But there was a few around, but not too many now. Like I say, there were several black. There was more black then than there is now.
Where did they all live?
What, the...
The black people.
Well, the same place where they do now. Conway Street.
Or what we call the alley.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did the black and white children play together?
Yeah, some. But not a whole lot, you know. But some.
And when you started school, Maysville had a grade school here, didn't they? Or had that closed by that time?
No, we had 8 grades. And I attended this school until the 6th grade. And that year, the middle school was completed. So I didn't... 6th grade is all I went here at Maysville. The next 7th and 8th, I went to the middle school at Mason County.
They closed 7th and 8th in Maysville then and sent you all to Mason County?
Yeah, that's right.
Was that a big change for the kids? To...
It was a disappointment for me. I know I didn't want to go too bad, but I went.
How come?
Well, I just hated to leave Maysville. And I thought that they spent a whole lot of money. We could have done just as well up here, you know, with the 7th and 8th grade. I know another thing, that when we went to school down there, they didn't have any walls in that place. Now they put them back in there. They thought they were real. That was a trend then, to have these schools without partitions. It was all open.
How'd that work?
Well, you could hear what was going on in the next class. It was kind of a mess, but now they've changed.
Was it harder to learn that way?
Well, I don't know whether it made that much difference or not, but But I know it was a whole lot different.
So most of your classmates when you were going to school in Maeslick were children that came in from the country then?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of school they were all bussed out, right?
Pretty well.
Yeah. Did you ever go out to in the country to the different homes and play with the kids?
No, I never did, I don't think.
I know this, to a grown man, this may sound silly, but what kind of games did you kids play like during recess over here?
All seemed like they played army games a whole lot. That was about all I can remember. Mm-hmm. Cowboys and Indians and army and stuff like that.
Remember any of your teachers you had
out? Oh, yeah, I remember all the teachers.
Who were your teachers, Robert?
Oh, Joanne Anderson.
What grade did you teach?
First. And level Mink, M-E-E-K. I believe her name was Foxworth, yeah. She had second grade, and Pauline Mason, third grade. Mabel Worthington, fourth grade. And Jim Pyle was fifth, and Marianne Collins was sixth grade.
Any of those names you've mentioned really stand out as teachers that you really...
Oh, they were all pretty good, especially Joanne Anderson. She was a good teacher, and of course they all were. Mr. Worthington, Marianne Collins, they... been teaching a long time.
Was there only, say, one class of first graders? Or
mm-hmm, just one class.
So there was only six classes going on in the school then?
Well, at that time, there was eight. They had Dewey Campbell, the seventh grade, and Virginia Collins, eighth, I think.
So it was a pretty small school. I mean, who was your principal then?
Let's see, when I started, it was Dewey Campbell, I guess, was the principal. He taught seventh grade and was principal. And then later on, they had Mr. Tinch Ryan, I believe was his name. He died while he was principal there. And then we had Beecham Vibbert, I think.
Who?
Beecham Vibbert. I believe that was his. W.M. Vibbert. V-I-B-B-E-R-T. He lived in the teacher. He's right next to the school. Of course, years back, it belonged to the school, but now it belonged to a private individual, but they rented him a room there. So he lived right by the school, in the old teacher.
When you're talking about the teacher, what do you know about? Why is it called that?
Well, that's where the teachers used to live. About, I don't know, I guess there was, of course, that was before my time. I just hear them talking about there were six or eight, maybe more teachers lived there, had rooms there.
Male and female?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And later, Mildred Poe used it for a nursing home. She kept a few patients there. Of course, they were on the first floor. There's three floors up there.
Oh, there is. You know when the nursing home was?
Oh, through the 60s, probably.
I never knew we had a nursing home in
place. Well, it really, she kept, oh, I guess maybe one time, maybe as high as four patients. Of course, that was before there wasn't any codes or restrictions on that. You just do whatever you want to. She kept some patients.
What changes did you notice going from a small local school like this into a centralized county school?
Well, you just didn't know the people as well, and the teachers, and so forth.
Do you think it was an advantage or a disadvantage consolidating?
I guess in a way it's better, maybe had a better education to consolidate, but it'd been better for the town if it'd still been here.
Do you think the school closing hurt Maeslick?
Well, sure it did. The high school, when they lost that, that hurt Maeslick a whole lot.
How?
Well, you didn't have the ball games to come to and the dinners and the things to come in for. There wasn't anything to come in for like there was. Just hurt the interest. Of course, I don't remember the high school because it burnt the year I was born or the year before. I don't know which year it was exactly. I think it's 58.
When you were growing up, was there a lot more businesses than there are now? Or?
Yeah, quite a few more. In one way, and then another way, there wasn't. Let's see, there was a tire shop up above the post office. And then there was a store on the corner where there's a store now. And the pool room, that was quite a thriving business at that time.
Did it actually have pool tables in it? Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the building where Charles Wood did, I don't believe there wasn't anything in there then. And Bilson had a store across from where Janet Miller lived. Wilson was in there.
Where Geico's is now?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a grocery store?
Grocery store. Wilson was there. And then later on, couldn't think of their names. They ran something too, and I can't think of their name. That store was going, and then where the bank parking lot is, Rooksbury had a store there in an old residence.
Oh, it was an old house that they turned into a store?
Yeah. It had a real pretty stairway in it. The house was falling down. There wasn't any paint on it or anything. They just used it. It was getting in bad shape. That's where people used to get their ice cream cones, isn't it?
Were they good?
Oh, I guess, yeah. There used to always be several people. I can remember loping on that porch. Jolly was across the street there.
Is that a
garage? Garage, yeah. And then, where the old fire hall was, somebody was in there doing some work.
You mean there was another fire hall besides the one we've got
now?
Yeah,
it's down there by the public well. There's a garage right straight across from the well.
Oh, okay.
And there was somebody in there. I don't remember who it was. Used to be gas pumps there.
So
I think Jolly's ran a garage there and started 28 or 29 down at that location before they moved to the other place.
So at one time there was two gas stations right together.
Oh yeah, and then where that tire shop was, they had gas. And I think that building where Charles Woods, there was gas there too.
You just get gas there place.
Yeah, there was gas down here at the restaurant. Of course, all these might not have been at the same time. There's been a lot of gas.
You're talking about the Thoroughbred restaurant that used to be here?
Yeah.
I heard they had really used to have good food in there.
Yeah. It was a good place. Sorry we don't have it now.
Yeah. So have you seen Maeslick then decline since?
Well, it declined and it gained some. Another thing, there was a boar's nest where the men used to come in and play euchre.
Where was that?
It was beside the garage, between the garage and the big yellow brick building up here in town.
Between Jolly's garage and?
No, between the garage where the old fire hall used to be and the big yellow brick. You know, it's the white building that's attached to the the big brick.
Yeah. And it was called the Boar's Nest?
Boar's Nest. And the members paid dues, and they came in there and played cards, and of course their dues covered the rent. And they had a pop machine in there. It wasn't anything unusual to go up 4 or 5 card tables playing euchre of a night. In the summertime, they'd play out front. They'd move the tables outside.
Was it open only to the members?
Well, I guess so. But of course, they didn't have any trouble with anybody coming in. You know,
you kids could just, kids could wander in and out.
Oh, yeah, you could go in. But kids didn't go around that much. I did, but the others didn't, I guess. I didn't a whole lot, but once in a while, if I was up there.
Do you remember who were members of the Forces?
Oh, yeah. Tony Beckett, he was a deputy sheriff around here at one time. He was in there. He always had a cane. He'd run the kids off. He didn't bother me, but he would. The others, I think. Let's see. Oh, Roy Breeze, Buddy Main, Henry Collins, Davis Robertson. Well, there must have been 25 or 30 on the roll there to pay dues, probably.
Were women allowed in there?
Well, they didn't go in there. I did see a woman up there, no.
When did that fold?
Oh, probably in the early 70s. It just kind of all died out.
Literally?
Mm-hmm. Pretty well. Just wasn't enough to keep going, but there for several years. It did real. Of course, it's just something to do, you know.
Yeah.
Some kind of entertainment.
In the late 60s and 70s, would downtown Mays look busy at night?
I never did ever see stores very busy at night, but there used to be a lot of loafers. There's not hardly anybody now.
Yeah.
Really, there's a few, but not too many.
Did you ever listen to the older men talking about how it used to be or telling stories when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, I have, I guess. That's where I know a lot of what I'm telling you now.
One time when you and I talked, we talked about the... You'd heard that it was an underground railroad at one time in Mays Lake. Do you know who told you that? Or?
I don't know who told me. But it was to run from the old Christian parsonage to the building Leela Furman used to own. That belongs to Charles Goldstein now.
So the end row house then, closest to the Sardis Road.
That's just a wild story. But the Christian Church parsonage is very interesting in the basement. There's a lot of brickwork and stonework. I guess that's how maybe they got started.
Did they ever, when you heard the story, did they ever say who helped run the slaves through? Or?
No. I just heard that story lately. That wasn't something I heard a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know who told them.
Well, it wouldn't be surprising, though, in heading north toward the river, that there wasn't. Do you remember any of the other stories you used to hear from the guys?
No, I can't recall anything right now.
Did you ever hear anything about the hanging out on 68?
Never did.
Or the shootings that have taken place in Mays Lake?
Yeah, I've heard something about some of those. Have there been more recent?
Yeah.
A McVeigh got shot uptown, I think. One of them hid over here on the porch across the street from this place here. The sheriff came and picked him up.
Didn't cause any problem?
No. But now, that's before I was born, I just heard about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was real small. I don't know what year that happened.
After you graduated from Mason County High School, did you go on to college?
I went to Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science the year after I graduated from high school.
What year was that?
77, 78.
How come you decided to go into that business?
Well, we were in the business here at Mays Lake, and I needed to continue that, so I went on and completed the year, required year of schooling and served apprenticeship and received the license in January of 81.
Who ran the business while you were in school?
No one.
So we didn't have a funeral home. What, was there ever any other funeral homes in Mays Lake?
Yes. Of course, now this funeral home started in 1959. I think I was 11 days old when I had the first funeral, and it continued on just a short time that it was closed for a few months there. Scott Collins, I guess, was the first. I don't know whether he was the first or the second undertaker in Mays Lake. He was a, I don't know whether he was an uncle or cousin to Charlie Collins. I don't know, maybe you've heard something about that yourself. I just kind of studied it a little bit. He's buried up here in the cemetery, and he died, and he's about in his 40s, Scott did. And then Mr. Charlie, which is Gertrude's father, carried it out from then until the early 50s, I think. Of course, he got too old. Just didn't have anyone else to carry it on. And he sold out and died 3 or 4 years later.
He sold out to someone else?
No,
or just,
he just liquidated
out
what he had. So there wasn't any funeral home for, probably about 7 years or something like that.
And
probably 52 to 59.
And then your father started
and
this one
my
here.
My father, my grandfather.
How come they decided to come to Mays Lake?
Well, my mother was from here, and this house was for sale. It was kind of bad repairing. It was a big house. And my grandfather was in business at Germantown, which is another small town.
What was your grandfather's name?
R.T. Palmer. I was named after him at the same time. He just, when they were talking about buying the house, he came over, looked the place over, and said they'd make a convert that into funeral home, so that's how it originated. If there wasn't anyone here, that's how it
had your began. Dad been working with him in Germantown up to that point? Or?
No. He was working in the State National Bank, I believe.
Oh, so he really didn't know anything about
it? Well, he, when he was growing up at home, he'd been around some, but not a whole lot of them.
Was your great-grandfather a funeral director
no.
also?
My grandfather started when he was about 30 years old. Someone else was running the funeral home. They were looking for someone to stay there. Not stay there, but just kind of manage it a little bit. And he just started working for him, just worked his way into it.
So you're third generation.
Mm-hmm.
Have funeral practices changed over the years a lot, or?
Well, I'd say they have a whole lot. Back years ago, when there was a death, the undertaker, that's what they called him at that time, he got his equipment out, and he went out to the house and took his cooling board. He did the embalming right there in the home,
That's a cooling board.
That's just something to, they put the body home to do the embalming. It was portable, so they could carry it in without a lot of trouble. And they'd take them in the house and set them up and do the embalming there. Then they had the wooden caskets and they lined them themselves. They'd have the lining, and they would, I guess the family pick out what kind they wanted. I don't know what, how much of a selection they had, and then they'd line it with whatever material they wanted. So they kind of made the caskets up, well, not really from scratch, but almost. They'd line them. And they'd have the, usually they had the, all the services right there at the home. The undertaker'd bring in some chairs. He'd have his hearse and he'd come in and take a cemetery. And I think that's pretty much what it entailed. Then, of course, they'd have to go, I'd say it was quite a chore, but they'd have to go out in the country and their horses and things. A lot of the undertakers were in the furniture business also. But I don't think here, I don't know whether they were.
Any particular reason they'd be in the furniture business?
Or? Well, they were in the furniture business, and then if they were cabinet makers or something, they'd make, they made the caskets too. See, they were carpenters too.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's how a lot of people were cabinet makers, furniture business. They would be the undertaker too. Mainly because they had the
the
material to make the casket. That was really the biggest thing to it, you know, just to have the casket and then a hearse to take it out to the cemetery. I think at that time.
Does anybody today have funeral services in their homes?
Oh, once in a while. They still take them back.
You ever had any yourself?
Oh, yeah, several. And several of those are the reason they want to do it because their parents performed it.
It's just always
been. Or just a tradition, I guess. But
does anybody around here have a wake? I mean, where they sit up all night with the bodies?
No, we never have had anybody sit up all night. That was all myth that a cat would get in the house or do something to the body. Or that's what that wake was about.
What would the cat do?
Well, I don't believe it'd do anything, but people had in their mind it'd eat the body up.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
What other myths are surrounding funerals that you've heard over the years?
I can't think of anything right now. I'm sure there is, though. Yeah.
Have you run into anybody specifying something to be done for a certain reason that's unusual?
No, not really. But now there probably is something. If I could think of it.
Think of it, yeah. Well, that's always a worry.
Tape run out.
Do they ever, since I've lived here, I've never seen any services really held in the church with the casket brought into the church. Is that done at all around here?
Oh, yes. The black people, a lot of them have their, they call it wake at the church and funeral there also. Like this year we've had a couple over to the Second Baptist Church.
Now, what they call a wake, what is that?
They call it a visitation wake. Of course, they don't stay all night. We lock the church and
But the body stays
body
at the church.
Body stays at the church.
How are black funerals different from white funerals?
Really, I think the black are more sacred to funerals than the white. You know, they take it more seriously, maybe. They'll have, they may have 4 or 5 ministers come in, and they always have a big meal after the service. Of course, a lot of the white do that too, but they always have plenty of food. They pretty much want to be formal about that.
What do you mean, formal?
They go into more detail, maybe, than a lot of the white do.
Again, I'm going to ask you, what do you mean by detail?
Oh, they want to, everything line, you know, they like to line up, you know, and family line up, different things such as that. Of course, now, that's just my own opinion. So.
Yeah.
But they take it pretty well. They hold that pretty sacred.
And you don't find that the white...
Well, oh yeah, they do, but I just think they're a little bit more so than some of the white.
I noticed, I've been here to the funeral home, it's more of a... They say give their respects to the family and everything, but then it's a visiting session with friends and everything. Mm-hmm. Is it this way at a black funeral?
Oh, yeah.
But they do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When did it go from having the services in the church into and having them instead in the funeral homes? Was that before you got into it? Or?
Well, ever since we've been here, we've had a lot here at the funeral home.
Is that becoming more and more common, or are people going back to having them in the homes and churches more?
No, I think it's... several people still have in the church. Of course, the Catholic's always in the church. We still have several different churches.
Would you say is more common, though? Services in the church? Or?
Well, I'd say 2/3 in the funeral home.
Is it hard being a funeral director and living in the same place you have your business? Do you lose a lot of your privacy?
No, I don't think so. Not in Mays Lick. Now, maybe if you were in a bigger town, you might have.
There we go.
What was that about?
A lady was in a chair, and she wanted me to help her get up out of the chair. So I do things like that. You know, it's not uncommon.
Would you find this in a large city?
You may not.
You do other services for the elderly around here, don't you? You run an ambulance service, don't you?
Well, no emergency work at all.
You deliver the baby in the back end one day.
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that.
Reverend Ed McCurley's youngest son was born in the back of your...
So... We do a little bit of convalescent work.
What do you mean convalescent? Take
or for the elderly, maybe to run them into the hospital, and take them to nursing home, or transfer them from nursing home to hospital back and forth. So it's pretty well getting so now. The life squad takes care of most things because of the insurance purposes. There's another thing back. Several years ago, when we first started the funeral home here, the ambulance service, you know, you had a hearse, so it would be a combination hearse, and you could use it as an ambulance also. You'd take it out free of charge. Just anybody needed it, you took it out. Well, it got so we started charging for it. And like I say, later on, it got so that the requirements were so stiff, you just had to turn it over to someone else. But that shows you how things change. It started out free of charge and ended up where you just it wasn't feasible to do it at all.
So the whole community loses by that, yeah. Don't they?
That's just another change in the times.
Is it a change you're glad about, or?
Well, it keeps you off the road, Tom. I'll tell you that. That change keeps you off the road. So I'm going to have to go now
Take care of her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you letting me come over this evening. I really do. And you better go help get her out of the chair.
I hope I've been some help.
You have. You really have. Thanks.